Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working in...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show. And I can tell you, this is one very happy party.
Party Friday.
Unbelievable. Yes. Brought to you by our good friends at
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Great website to check out. We check it every day ourselves.
And I'll have a report on my stage two of a three-stage diet a little later
doing
in the program.
Doing great. He's doing great. A lot going on today. We're going to have Patrick Neville on for the weekly Minority Report, and hopefully we can convince him. He said he's not going to seek a leadership role in the legislature next session, so we'll try to keep him still coming on to give us an update. We've got George.
I'm sure he'd be happy to. We'll just call the grassroots supporters.
Bingo. That was fast, Chuck. Fast. George Anthonisopoulos, grassroots GOP strategist, keeping an eye on the numbers. The Democrats are making a lot of the fact that there are way more Democrats in Colorado turning their ballots in the Republicans. Should we be worried? Are Republicans holding out? We'll talk to him about all of that. And then at 3:35 Denver time, Dr. Brian Junedep, he had a couple of good columns in the American Thinker this week. One, talking about this whole QAnon thing, right? And
that's good. I can't figure out what it is.
No one can. And even then.
Well, the only time you hear about it is the left.
When the QAnon, left has,
how do you denounce QAnon? What's QAnon? You've been a member your whole life. Well, it's a secret society.
And apparently it's not even QAnon. It's Q, which I thought, wasn't that in like Star Trek, the Q guy? Or maybe it was something different. Anyway, he had a great column on that. And then also something on polls, too, which is interesting. We're trying Patrick Neville. Patrick is always busy on Fridays. I know he has a class.
He's looking beyond being in the legislature and getting an MBA. Smart guy.
Smart guy. Hey, but that's not enough. And if you guys want to chime in, the number is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. You can always join us if you're on Zoom. Just kind of unmute your microphone and go ahead and pop in. And I know, Sandra, you're the queen of this. If you want to just text your comments too in the chat section, we can read those. But I was saying earlier today, Chuck does not get giddy that much,
much.
And Chuck has been absolutely giddy ever since
8:30 last night.
His friends, who also are not usually the giddy sorts, have been giddy. Why are you so giddy, Chuck?
Because I thought Donald Trump did a tremendous job. I mean, it was everything I wanted him to do. A couple moments where he was responding to Biden's attacks, screaming at the TV as I do. but everything else I thought was just brilliant. I thought how we exposed him, how we got him, and he brought out the laptops, the corruption. He got Biden to say he was going to get rid of oil and gas.
His campaign was going, shut up. Even the moderator was like, oh, why would you do that?
why
would you say that?
The laptop is Russian disinformation.
Yeah.
Why don't you just say I'm guilty?
Why not just say I don't even know what you're talking about?
I'm guilty. And there are just so many other areas that it was. And even though the moderator interrupted him 24 times compared to two with Biden, even though she made sure that Biden got the last word in and everything else, I thought Trump was fantastic. You always have two reactions, and it's important to have the one when you finish the debate and the one in the next morning after you
listen. You're kind of listening around,
analysis. And I'm, if I was giddy,
you're even giddier.
I'm even giddier.
Your friend Chuck Lyon, you guys always confer after, they were both happy last night. He just called you a little while ago again to say, I'm still happy. I'm even happier. And I agree. I think that Trump did, number one, I think that the rigged presidential debate commission is on, they're going to go ahead.
Here.
They're going to get rid of the mute button, because that mute button was one of the best things that we could have ever had. But then we've got Patrick Neville on, the minority leader, state representative.
Hey, Patrick. Well, I was saying how unbelievably giddy I am over the debate performance and the post-debate
afterglow
and so forth. How are you feeling?
Yeah, the same. It was really good. I just hope people actually tuned in, because I think after the first one, a lot of people just tuned out.
Yes. Yeah. I think I saw the ratings. The numbers were,
million.
Yeah, the numbers were down.
No, slightly though. They were great for what, as opposed to what people expected. And 21 million is a lot of people.
Well, and it, yeah, you forced me to do a lot of things. I think, hey, Patrick, I know we've got Barney on the line. He likes to talk to you too. So let's go ahead. Patrick, you stay there. Barney, come on.
You stay there. Where's
you stay
going?
There. Don't go anywhere. Barney, hey, are you giddy too today, Barney?
Oh my God, I'm so happy. Well, first off, wait a minute. Chuck, nice color on you. Julie, you look beautiful. The picture in the background just ties you guys all together. That's awesome.
That's right. That's how we planned it. That's how we planned
feng
it.
Feng shui, too.
Yeah, feng shui.
Oh, yeah, feng shui. Hey, I want to guarantee you and Sandra and Patrick that I am not going to ever interfere with myself when I call in, just so you know. I
okay.
think that might be
good.
What QAnon is. I think that's wanking yourself. I don't know. But I thought you guys were going to talk about the debate, and I hate to steal Patrick's. I wanted to talk about Trump, Uncle Trump, and how great he did.
Go ahead. It could be a three-way conversation. Four-way.
Okay, come on. Come on.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
How white trash is that? Is that white trash?
White trash, yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Julie.
I was going to say, Patrick, did you think this too? I was like, we should start a drinking game every time he said, come on, man.
That's worth a shot.
Oh, my God. We'd die. I'd get my stomach pumped.
Oh,
with alcohol poisoning. But something that I want to bring up about is, and I know you guys have heard me say this before, the term kitchen table issues, the term little man, the term working man, really piss me off, because you really don't need a pair of work boots to be a working man. I know how you work, Chuck, back in the day, and you certainly don't wear work boots. Those phrases just really, well, I know you still do, but they really piss me off. Like, the rest of the world doesn't work unless you wear work boots. That pisses me off. It pisses me off that Joe Biden says, oh, you can have college, but unlike my daughter going to DU, no, you got to go to community college. How condescending is that? You're going to give my kids free college, but not at Notre Dame or yeah. Stanford or Harvard? No, screw you, Democrats. By the way, we're toast in this state, but forget all that. 11 million people he's going to make legal. You're going to get rid of the gas and oil industry. Awesome, Joe. You go.
Go, girl. Go, right. girl.
Hey, Barney, thank you for your call. We'll let Patrick jump
in. Love you guys. See you,
all right,
Patrick.
Thank you, too. Patrick, yeah, I mean, what did you say when, you know, he's like, yeah, I'm going to get rid of oil and gas industry. It's like,
and Trump beautifully didn't he just said, that's a big decision. I mean, important. He goes, oh, yeah, it's a big decision. In fact, it'll probably cost me Pennsylvania. Oh, right.
What did you think of that?
Oh, it was crazy. Then he tried saying, oh, yeah, no, I'm not against fracking. It's like, all right, I'll put the video up on my website.
Yeah. Oh, I said it's against on federal land, I think.
Federal land, which is where it all is. Well, what about, let me kind of switch it to here, because I think a lot of people nationally are giddy. I think it's harder to be giddy here in Colorado, but I know you're fighting hard for some races. You want to update us on some of those?
Yeah, it's a tough year. I mean, we're seeing races. We're trying the typical races where we didn't have to really get involved. We're having to get involved. I mean, they've put over well over $200,000 against, like, Kevin Van Winkle, for instance, in Hounds Ranch. So he's in a pretty big race. We released a great video that John Castillo did that was endorsing Kevin. So that's really good in his race. And but yeah, it's, you know, the demographics have changed on the front range quite a bit. And but, you know, we have some chances in rural areas that we probably didn't have not too long ago. So it's interesting, you know, and it's always a battle. Some of the seats that we're looking at, like one, for instance, Rio Monteo is a really competitive seat out in Pueblo. And, you know, that one, for example, you have Mr., you know, so-called Republican Greg Brophy, who him and his wife, Max.
Oh, yeah. Democrat. Oh, yeah.
And then even, you know, Mark Hillman gave to the Democrat, too. It's just, you know, it's crazy. And then the NRA. I mean, get this. The NRA actually endorsed Monteo, even though we have tons of bad gunboats against her. And it was amazing because the Democrats actually spent money from the Democrat 527 talking about how great Bree was because she was endorsed by the NRA. So it's just crazy, you know. The Democrats, the NRA is the evilest thing ever until, you know, it benefits them in elections, and they're more than happy to go tout it.
Well, yeah. You know, I've said this before. I signed up to be a PCP, which is the lowest grunt level, because I want to be shoveling coal into the steam engine.
Well, and I'm the minion. If he's the lowest, I'm the minion to the PCP.
You're the minion to the lowest. And everything I feared was true. The Republican Party in Colorado is defunct. There was a great guy who was working with Cory Gardner, who's another PCP for this precinct 46. So I called up, you know, everybody up and down the line in Colorado. And I said, who is the other PCP? They don't know. We lost all the records. We don't know who was elected the other PCP. I mean, that's the level of incompetence and patheticness. And it really starts with money. It always starts with money. I mean, just go on your computer, just go on your TV set. You'll see these ads for Rachel Zelzinger and every other Democrat in the world. No Republicans almost. They have all the money and we have none. You know, the Anschutzes and all that have all bailed out. So, you know, Patrick's doing a great job with grassroots funding, and that's really the future unless we can.
Well, hopefully, I mean, in a way, Patrick, hopefully you guys are the future, because the establishment people, you know, I mean, you know, Dick Wadhams is apparently on Peter Boyle's 710 KNUS today, this morning, saying, well, the only reason Cory Gardner is going to lose is because of Donald Trump. It's like, no, you know, like we pointed out, Donald Trump won in Colorado. He didn't win the state, but he beat Mitt Romney. He beat, you know, other candidates. You are the hope, I think, Patrick. Yeah. And I think there's, frankly, I think there's a lot of reason to have hope, because you speak for the people. And I got a feeling we're going to be screwed over royally by the Democratic legislature this year.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be pretty bad if we don't at least make some gains. If we make some gains and they can go, okay, we probably overstepped the
right
for redistricting. But my guess is no, they're going to go all for it. So it'll be. It'd be interesting to watch the news always likes to report our leadership races and stuff. And, you know, anyone who says anything bad about me, they love to, you know, put them on the front page of the paper. But the most interesting leadership elections are actually going to be on the Democrat side to watch. Of course, you know, they keep, you know, their dirty laundry in house. And like us, we, you know, seem to go and tell the whole world about it. If, you know, especially, and then the media is happy to print them if you're, you know, if it says something.
Well, you pointed out two of the worst people, Greg Brophy and Chris Hillman, but they're
Mark
Hillman, but there are plenty of other ones. And I think we're going to give a list of every rhino out there, including a couple who are running for House leadership this time. And really,
Bill
Collin and all that, because there is, you know, they would happy to be leading a dead moribund Republican Party than being part of a coalition to win
actual
win
races.
Lie, they cheat, they steal, and they're disgusting. But they're great guys like Patrick and some others out there, which we can always kind of get some happy juice from.
You don't sound that happy, Chuck. Burka.
Well, just the Republican Party in Colorado.
Let me switch.
Is there anything new or encouraging? I don't think there is on the ballot returns.
No, you know, it's definitely not what we're seeing. It's not the trend we're used to. The trend usually Republicans open up with a huge, wide advantage, and then that kind of diminishes as time goes by. But right. I really do think we're seeing people, they're hearing it on the news, they're hearing Trump say it, they're hearing it all, you know, all over the place to wait and vote in person or turn in your ballot, you know, on election day. So I think a lot of Republicans are just waiting, but I think we're going to see a big rush of them towards the end. I really do.
I think so. I mean, that's what we're doing, frankly. You know, I mean, I don't.
Well, you know, the people in Florida heard the same message, except they're pouring. Republicans are now pouring in the various counties and voting. Same with some other states. So I'm not sure why, but we, you know.
We'll be talking with George about that here coming
up.
Right, so
that's right.
Let me ask
you
just a couple more questions, Patrick. One thing that I think is interesting, and I think you guys, and I know the folks at Colorado Citizen Press are kind of talking about this. So that Jared Polis is now making a big deal about the fact that, you know, the forests are all burning to the ground and we haven't been able to have blue skies here for almost 2 months along the Front Range. But he was in Congress and could have done something about the forest management. He's been governor for a while, could have maybe urged something about the forest management. Doesn't do anything like that. Locks us all down. Tells us we have to wear masks until God knows when. And now today flies up to show some concern now that, you know, everybody in Grand Lake has had their houses burned down. An appalling lack of leadership, I think.
Oh, yeah, totally. And then, you know, they find all this money for little pet projects here and there. And that's one of the things I'm actually willing to spend some money on is, you know, fire prevention and stuff like that. Because really, if you, you know, a dollar, you know, spent today is, you know, worth way more in preventative if you can actually do it now. And they've turned those kind of bills down like time and time again because they don't want to see that. They don't want to actually have, you know, true fire breaks that could also be used as roads and transportation in the state. They don't want to do things like that. Instead, they want to pass these bills that, like, you know, mandate that people that live in certain areas can't have trees too close to their houses. Again, like, you know, just nannyism is their answer to everything. And then they take this money and spend it on all their other stupid pet projects when we probably should have actually spent some towards fire management.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm not sure if you saw it, but ALEC, which is an acronym for American Legislative Economic Council, rated Jared Polis as the ninth most conservative governor in the United States. What do you think of that?
What were they smoking?
Well, they were smoking Art Laffler's, who they were smoking. Your hero who came to Colorado to convince you to do the governor's bidding. And they couldn't have gotten a guy you admire more, but you're obviously a bright guy, and so the con job didn't
work.
He is intimately involved with ALEC, and I thought it was just. I've made several calls into ALEC saying, "What, you know, saying, could you come on and tell us about your ratings and everything else?" I haven't heard back. You know?
Right.
Hey, final question for you, Patrick. Just as always, open-ended question. Anything else you want to talk about, you want people to know about?
Yeah, we just need people to get out there, go find candidates that you can work for. If you want to go to takebackco.org, we can get you plugged in if you want to help out. It is the final push. We just really do need all hands on deck. It's one of those where we don't want to, you know, lose even more seats and get even bluer. So we need true fighters in there, and we've got some, like I said, Kevin Van Winkle's in a tough race. He's been a true hero and fighter down there as well. And we need to get him over the finish line. And there's some others we can plug in with too. So,
sounds good.
.org.
All right, Patrick, thank you very much. Good luck. We'll stay in touch. All right, thank you, sir. We're going to have, if you want to go ahead and get hold of George Anthonisopoulos now, he can break down some of the numbers. Here we've got Mark. He's referencing, and I said the legislature is going to screw us over. He says, you mean worse than this year in Polis restrictions? Yes, Mark, I think so. And then Sandra, another reason to sign the recall Polis petition. At least he'll know that we're tired of him and his rules. You know, we're going to be looking over his shoulder. Okay, we've got George Anthonisopoulos, the A-man, with us. George is sort of our strategy guy, our numbers guy. So George, first off, thank you for your time this Friday. Sure appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So the numbers, the
in terms, what, not any numbers?
And no, I was going to get numbers. Specific. Seven. No, I'm kidding. the ballot returns. What do you make it? The numbers in Magellan show. It was like Republicans down like 100,000 over Democrats. They were behind even on unaffiliated. What do you make of that, and how does it compare? My big question is, are there way more Democrats all of a sudden, or does it appear to be the same number of Democrats voting early, or what are you seeing?
So here's the thing that I'm seeing most clearly right now. If we zoom out, President Trump is going to win. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to win. Yes. And he's going to shock everybody on election night.
Yes.
Because his share of, you know, the black vote, the Hispanic vote, the vote amongst first generation Americans, it's going to be wildly higher than any pollster in the country is predicting. It's going to be high, and it's going to cut the legs out from the Democrats.
Yeah.
And they don't see it coming, nor do they understand it. And all of the polling, and I was looking at 538 today, and they have their model. And normally I check their model to see how they're stacking the race right now. And right now they have the president at 12%.
Chance, odds.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I don't understand how they are this far off the mark. But if you look at polling, you start with assumptions, then you get your sample population, then you craft questions, and then you conduct a poll. And I think what they're doing is, by and large, pollsters are using false assumptions because they've taken, for instance, the Black community for granted for so long that they assume that they're always going to have that vote. And it's just a matter of turnout. And
you know,
they're going to see is that they're totally wrong. There's some.
Well, when Rasmussen had the Black vote at like 46% or something this morning for Trump, which is massive.
I don't trust Rasmussen.
But no, but
you know, I used to listen or watch Nate Silverman at the New York Times and so, and I've given up on him. He's kind of like Drudge. He used to be somewhat. Now he's just a propaganda.
Yes.
I mean, he really is just a joke. But you know, if the polls, you know, all my Democratic friends are feeling fine after the debate because they just marinate themselves in the polls. And I think you're absolutely right, George. This is the first time I'm kind of validly optimistic. I think the president is going to win. I think the Republicans are going to keep the Senate. Probably can't win the House, but you never know. It's amazing that up in Minnesota, the Tina Smith is tied with the Republican challenger. McSally is ahead of Mark Kelly in another poll. So, and I promise you, you know, come election day, Nate Silver and 538 say, it's tightening up right now. Bull. You've known the whole time. And you crooked it. And so when the election comes in, say I was.
Suspicious than this. I think that they're deliberately lying so they can turn around. And when Trump wins, they're going to say, well, our polls show we couldn't possibly win.
That Russians, must be.
The Russians must have done it. What about in Colorado, George? Are you concerned about the Republican turnout at this level? Or do you think it's going to come back? I mean,
it has to come back a little.
Well, yeah. I mean, what do you think there?
So looking at the numbers, and I can't wait for the numbers to come out, you know, today, but you know, it seems in the past ballots get mailed out and Republicans always return the ballots first. So Republicans are leading in ballot returns. And then we see that surge in the last 48 hours of Democrat ballots coming
in. Right.
That's been a pattern for a few cycles now. And it kind of screwed us before because we thought we were good. And then the Democrats surged the last 48 hours and they end up winning.
Right.
And I think based on the numbers, it looks like the opposite is happening this year. If you're looking at ballot returns, I'm looking at the Democrats and the Democrats are outpacing Republicans, somewhat significantly, depending on congressional district and depending on, you know, what age bracket you're looking at. But I think that they're not canvassing. They don't have the ground game they normally have. They're banking on enthusiasm and a perceived, anti-Trump sentiment to carry the day.
No, they're not. That is not the strategy, because I spend my time with Democrats. The strategy was to get as many people registered by whatever means possible. They flooded everywhere. And then they called to death to get all these people. They are just strudging everything. They're not doing their ballot harvesting, but they're massively increased the registration at the end. And they're giddy. And it's all working out. You said, well, you know, it seems to be the opposite. Well, we know that Republican leading is the opposite. We don't know the other, where the Republicans all of a sudden come rushing in. And as I've said, I am the PCP for Precinct 46, along with one other person, and who was elected at the caucus. They don't know who he is. They lost the name. They lost the phone number. They're clueless. Let me tell you, on the ground for the Republican Party, they are totally clueless.
Just in Colorado.
Not elsewhere. You know, Trump here is adopted the Democratic strategy, and they've got these five bank number of things they call, and it just, and one answers the at, and they go back. I mean,
yeah, the Trump
at least
campaign.
Trump has at some organization, although they have not, you know, they're not coming to Colorado or anything else, but it's lack of money, which is always number one, as George knows, and the result in total chaos on the, and also the fact we have, you know, the traitorous establishment, and I don't know why we call them establishment. They're just sick people who are trying to destroy everybody if he's not a moderate Republican, which means they're not a Democrat. But that's what I think.
I know, and Chuck, you always say that. So, but
what? But it's true.
I know it's
that's
true.
That's why I say
but you
it.
You say it 80 times a show.
Good. I need to say it 100 times a show.
But here's what I wonder,
don't
though.
Get it.
I wonder, George, because I'll say this about me, and I know it's probably, you know, sort of like putting my finger in the dike, but I was like, what you said at the beginning, where usually the Republicans do very well in turnout. They think, oh, we're great. And then the Democrats surge at the end. To me, I thought, you know, heck with the Democrats. I'm going to hang on to my ballot. Why let them know? I know they kind of have their win numbers, but I'm like, why let them know where we actually stand? And I got to wonder if there are a bunch of other Republicans too.
But Julie, to be truthful, the last presidential election, both you and I turned in our ballots late. We did not turn them in early.
But this time, I'm doing it on purpose.
You're doing it on purpose.
But let George answer.
Right.
I mean, what do you think?
So, to be frank, if I'm looking nationally and I'm looking at the state of Colorado, I actually think that there's more uncertainty in Colorado than there is nationally. Which
yes.
Normally, I don't know that I would have that opinion, but, you know, looking at the numbers, so, you know, the Democrats would return ballots compared to Republicans. They are outpacing us well north. We'll call it 100,000.
Right.
Well, actually, it's
worse than that. But to keep our spirits up, we'll just say 100,000.
We'll just say 100,000. It's it's probably a little closer to two, but
oh, okay. round it down. We got to round everything down.
Well, you know what'll be interesting to see though is do those Democrat? I mean, will we start seeing more Republicans, and will the Democrats continue that, or have they, as you said, and Chuck, you know, they really pumped the registration. They've been making the phone calls. Have they got? I mean, I think this next week is going to be obviously very important and give us some. I know, but what about though, George? I know, you know, we were at a fundraiser not that long ago for Lauren Boebert. A lot of enthusiasm for her. And any thoughts on how that worked? Because I know you were kind of involved with that, Lucy, at the very beginning before the primary. How's she doing?
She's doing all right, but she's got to get her campaign out knocking doors and harvesting ballots. And to the returns, what I'm seeing in the returns is not what I want to see. Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm just saying that they've got a lot of work to do if they're going to win. And I think that in the third, overall voter sentiment favors Lauren.
Yeah.
But you still have to do the work. So do I think she'll win? Yes. Will it be easy between now and Election Day? No. It's going to have to be hard. And they're going to have to do the work. They're going to have to knock doors. They're going to have to make sure the votes get in. Because, you know, a voter who supports you but doesn't return their ballot, that doesn't count.
Well, and that's the work that she did that got her across the finish line in the primary, I think, in
part
two.
But she was facing a Republican opponent who did what Republicans do, which is nothing. She's now facing a Democratic opponent
who's got money pouring in.
He's got money pouring in and has a committed and energetic one. So beating establishment Republicans is not the task of beating Democrats. So we'll just see. I think she'd be great. That's a one bright hope, it seems to me, for this election, if she gets elected, but we'll see.
I think she would change the Republican Party in the state of Colorado.
Yes.
Like the way Patrick has changed it.
Yes.
And I think she would do great in DC. And if you are listening and you live in the third congressional district, for the love of God, get your ballot in, vote for her, vote for the president, vote for all of the Republicans. Make sure, by the way, that Gallagher repeal they have on the ballot.
Oh, yeah.
They worded that in such a misleading way.
Right.
It's terrible. So, yeah.
I've got you. Let me ask you about this, too, because I know you were involved with the city. You know, you have to be a citizen to vote. The Denver Post had a stupid editorial where it said, it's misleading. We don't need it. Our legislature, you know, we already have
our
a state
legislature
law. It says you have to be a citizen. Like, okay, the legislature that wants to bring you safe injection sites, it's totally screwing us over, wants to take your guns away, wants to get rid of the electoral college.
If you want to know how to vote, or at least you want our opinion, we put it up on our website, and every one.
We didn't yet, but we will. But what? Let me finish my question to George. So, George,
update. We haven't yet.
We haven't yet, but we will. But George, I mean, they were completely misleading, and because the legislature would change that in a heartbeat, don't you think?
Yeah, and listen, the only way that we can guarantee that only American citizens vote in our elections is to vote yes on Amendment 76.
Yes.
All the other arguments are noise meant to mislead or misdirect or obfuscate the issue at hand. If you want only American citizens to vote, you vote yes on Amendment 76.
We agree.
Anything else is just noise.
What do you see in money-wise, if at all, in some of those races and some of the ballot initiatives? Because I think that could help drive turnout a little bit.
It's bad.
It's bad. I think the focus has generally changed, because we thought at the beginning of the year that ballot initiatives would drive turnout, but the opposite has come to pass, which is ballot initiatives are almost an afterthought. For instance, we have an income tax cut.
Yes.
That the governor supported. And obviously, that was before the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
Now that revenues have been destroyed, I don't hear the governor out advocating for an income tax cut. I mean, maybe I missed it, but pretty sure I didn't hear that.
No, I mean, that's because we're all quarantined and we have to wear masks all the time. Well, what do you a couple of final questions for you, George, in terms of,
You didn't say me.
All right. Are there any sort of bottom, because you're just so good at doing this, bottom line takeaways that you see from turnout, from money, from sort of the numbers involved in this race, this election?
So I think there are a lot of questions when it comes to Colorado. I really need to see Republicans getting their ballots in. I don't see that right now in the numbers. And if you are a Republican in the state of Colorado, you need to get your ballot in. You need to vote Republican, and you need to do your research on the ballot initiatives. You know, vote for the income tax cut, vote against the Gallagher repeal, vote against joining
paid family leave
compact on the Electoral College. Vote for Amendment 76, which is only American citizens should vote in our elections. Do your research, but get your ballot in. Nationally, President Trump wins.
I agree. I almost hate to talk about state politics, but here's another little tidbit. So I'm talking to my precinct captain, who's a great guy and very good, and I said, well, what houses are you going to? Well, they want to emphasize and go after hard Republicans.
Yeah.
And hard Republicans does not mean they're ideologically. It means they vote in everything. They vote in primaries. They vote, they're 10 for 10 for every election. So there's one group you do not, in a huge presidential election, have to go after, are the people who vote all the time, who are Republicans. Yet that is the strategy of the state Republican Party. They are not going against, finding out if they're people who don't normally vote and everything else. They are doing whatever they can to do the opposite of what you would advise them to do. It's just fun to watch, but you just sit there. You can't think that's a good strategy. So, well, that's what we've been instructed. You go, yeah, I bet you have. What, by Ryan Call in Utah? Unbelievable, George. I mean, yeah. Well, you know more about it than all of us combined. So I'm glad.
And here's the thing. The only, if you're harvesting, if you're worried about getting ballots in, and you are tracking ballot returns day by day through the Secretary of State's office in your local county, you know who's voted and who hasn't. Yeah. And the only time you focus on Republicans is when you get really close to election day, because you got to remind them to get their ballots in. But otherwise, you're focused on, you know, the low propensity Republicans and unaffiliated voters. And if you've done your work and you've done your voter ID work, you know, in the year leading up to the election, you have a plan on how you're going to go knock doors and which ballots you should focus on first, because you can get a lot of votes, because the most impactful type of influencing is done on the front doorstep.
Exactly. So
when you start your harvesting, like when ballots hit, you don't go knock on Republican doors, you knock on unaffiliated doors. No, and as you get closer and closer to election, that's when you kind of transition to making sure all your Republican votes are in. And, you know, that's...
Well, that's not the strategy. The strategy is try to spend all your time with people who are going to vote anyway. And don't go after anybody who might not.
Well, we're going to go back to talking national politics. It's too depressing.
Yeah, you're right. All right, George. We'll let you go. Thank you. You're always great.
Thank you for your time. Yeah, appreciate it on this Friday. We'll be keeping in touch as we get closer, okay?
Okay, look forward to it.
All right, George Anthonisopoulos there.
He's great. I love him.
Oh, yeah, he is. I want to real quick read. So Leo and Mark are planning a party on the Chuck and Julie show, which is a great idea, on Inauguration Day. So.
Yes, you can come over. You can join us here in our palatial basement.
Join us on Zoom. Mark is bringing good German beer. It sounds good. Hey, so we wanted to...
I'm going to have to shortly interrupt, or just before we get to Brian.
Oh, Leo says he'll cook.
That's all right. Good. Because I'm not much of a cooker, and Julie is okay. But, yeah. But okay. This is day 51. I finished 50 days of what they call the book and ball diet. You eat 500. You starve yourself. 500 to 600 calories a day. And the last part of it, just to meet all my goals, I go into the super book and ball, where I go down to 200 or 300. Which is really fun, because you fall into an anorexic state, and you get this huge high, although you're in danger of passing out all the time.
And
you're incredibly crabby, even if you're a chipper person like me. But so I've finally finished my 200 or 300 calories, which is, I promise you, not much in a day. And this is my last day, and I'm about to go down to the ballet when the show's over and have my first beer, which is I'm looking forward to. With that great introduction, but let me have the whole point. The whole point of that is I would not have lost closing into 60 pounds. And I plan to, this is stage two, 2 months of lifting weight. So I'm not just all skin and bones. And then I go to stage three when I get back to my weight when I was in my early 20s. I got to lift the weight. So at least have somewhat of the body I had, at least a little bit of the body, not just skin and bones. But none of it impossible at Julie McCallum and Synergetics, none of it. She works with you every day. She encourages you. She says, okay, if this food is getting a little repulsive to you, try this, try that. I mean, everything to make you sure that you get your goals. So call her for everything. You know, youth is just a feeling, and you can feel great if you want to, including losing all the weight you need to lose. So give her a call. That's 720-387-3681, free consultation. And she'll make a huge change in your life.
All right.
All right. Let's bring on another doctor, which I'm sure says, what kind of diet?
Yeah, I don't know. Dr. Brian Dunedep, great friend, great commentator, does radio stuff. You have great columns up in American Thinker. You had like two this week. I couldn't even keep track of them. So, Brian, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Nice to be with you guys.
Yeah. Let's start off maybe with the one on QAnon, because I just think that's kind of funny. All the history.
What is QAnon? Well, I ever read is,
even Trump says, I don't know what QAnon
I don't know.
Is.
You know, something about a pizza place. I mean, but all the Democrats love to talk
about
QAnon.
About QAnon.
Well, it's a conspiracy theory that they love to talk about. Yet I don't hear them talking about Elvis sightings, Flat Earth Society, Bigfoot, other conspiracy.
They do talk about the laptop aiming Russian disinformation.
Yeah.
Of course. The fact that QAnon is piquing the interest of the left and causing them to obsess over it, I think, is a good thing, regardless of anything else. But this is a phenomenon that started in the fall of 2017, about 3 years ago. Someone calling himself or herself Q Clearance Patriot began posting on anonymous message boards, 4chan, then 8chan, then 8kun, and posting kind of little tidbits of insider information. There is no such thing as QAnon, so Trump is technically correct when he says he doesn't know what QAnon is. Q refers to Q clearance, which is a level of classification in the Department of Energy, kind of a top level clearance. Also, there is a Q directorate in the National Security Agency. So Q is referring to a kind of an ultra, you know, James Bond level, Robert
Kind of like M.
level.
Remember M yeah. and James Bond?
That's right. Yes. No Money Penny involved, but.
Not too bad. She was great.
No Bond girls either, unfortunately.
Oh, damn it. Damn it.
But Q began posting and dropping little tidbits about events, things that may be happening, and quite accurate, bringing up things like Epstein well over a year before he became a household name. Little bits of kind of intelligence, but not really intelligence, making the what they call the anons. These are anonymous people on these boards that look at what Q posts and try to analyze it. Q
yes.
just kind of leaves little breadcrumbs. I think being very careful not to release actual intelligence, which this person or group of persons can get in trouble for. Q often posts at the same time Trump tweets, kind of interesting coincidences suggesting that part of the Q team may be part of Trump's inner circle. Rumor is that there are 9 people involved, 6 are military intelligence, which speaks to NSA, 3 civilians. So that could be, Dan Scavino or Kayleigh McEnany. Who knows? I mean, it's all, nobody knows. This is a well-kept secret. But it's interesting because it's tracking events that are happening and from a different perspective and kind of foreshadowing.
Well, where does the pizza place and the child pedophile ring come in? Because that's all.
Well, that's
the Democrats
that's the Anon stuff, right?
Well, that's all. Q has never posted. I researched this, and there's
right.
a board. You can go all the Q posts, and you can search, and they're like close to 5,000 Q posts from the past 3 years.
Okay.
You search for Pizzagate or pizza, nothing appears. So whether this is a real phenomenon or not, but what it refers to is pedophilia and pedophiles that are, you know, grooming kids and trafficking kids. They use kind of coded language and
right.
pizza terms to, you know, I want a little girl. It's I want this type of pizza. I want a little boy. It's I want that type of pizza. Is this true? I don't know. But that's where the Pizzagate came in.
Well, how is it associated with Q or Q?
Isn't it some of the Q followers then respond to it, right? It'd be
yes.
like if I tweeted something.
And these anons kind of chase off into odd directions.
Yes.
Many times they're spot on and they figure out exactly what Q's talking about or who he's talking about. Other times they go down these rabbit holes of nothing. JFK Jr. being alive has been attributed to Q. But
uh-huh.
Q has denied it. And in my article, I found a post that referenced that. Somebody asked Q, is JFK Jr. alive? And he said, no. But yet JFK Jr. was going to appear at a rally last week. And there are pictures out there.
Along with Elvis.
I think it's part of a Democrat disinformation campaign, right? I mean, that would make sense if you're them. And we know they have them. So if Q starts putting something that's close, you know, it's hitting the mark, then they kind of throw in nonsense
There's a lot of disinformation, and Q says sometimes disinformation is posted because bad people are reading those boards too, and they can
right.
force people to move and do things and expose themselves. You know, the
right.
first post was Hillary Clinton and John Podesta are going to be arrested tomorrow. which is obviously hasn't happened. But
well, let me ask you this:
like that come out, people react, and whoever's behind this may be looking. So this is speculation. There's no right or wrong answer on this.
You're a naturally even-tempered, judicious person. So how are you feeling about the election?
Mind the debate.
Well, not the debate. Oh, okay. I think we probably all can agree that was a fantastic event. But I'd just like to get Brian's view. I mean, I'm, for the first time, legitimately optimistic about the election. I just wonder where you are.
I've been optimistic. I think Trump will win this. I think it will be a bigger margin than last time. All the indicators are in his direction. I don't believe the polls. The polls are way off. And I even wrote about what a purpose of the polls might be to sow the seeds for unrest post-election.
Yes, yes.
If the polls all say that Joe Biden is going to win in a landslide, double-digit landslide,
right,
and then Trump wins by 5 or 6 points.
Russia.
Yes, the reaction is going to be Trump cheated. That's the only way it could have happened. All the polls said Trump was going to lose, but he won, so he must have cheated. He had help of the Russians, the Iranians, the Ukrainians, the Kazakhstanis.
Well, you know, and one thing, Brian, too, you put in your comma, and I think this is your comma.
Forget the Turkmenistanis.
That if you're listening to the weather forecast and the perky weather girl is telling you, it's going to snow any minute now, and you're looking outside, you're like, well, no, it's bright, it's sunny, and it's 80 degrees. It's like, who are you going to believe? And I think, and you look around, and this is just me. It's like Trump seems cheerful and happy and energetic. The Democrats are crabby and dour and,
vicious.
And vicious. And to me, they've got to all have internal polling, which they need, that they don't share with us. I just think, and like you said, you look around, people are at Trump rallies. The economy is getting back in shape. People are going to restaurants.
Let me tell you one thing. People misinterpret, you say the internal polls as if they're necessarily going to be accurate. If you're an internal poller for a candidate and you keep on telling the candidate he's going to lose, you're gone. So, internal polls are not necessarily, perfect polls. I mean, because you have to remember, polling is an art. It's how many people you think are going to vote, how many assumptions. It is not a science beyond some basic math. And so it's...
But who's consuming and who's paying for the polls? The polls that we see are paid for by CNN, Fox News, NBC, and those are people that are deliberately biased against the president.
Exactly right. So, because they won, if their pollster keeps on telling them, it looks like Trump is going to win, and we'll have to report it.
Yeah, they don't want that.
But the candidates themselves, if these pollsters want to have a job for the next election cycle, they're going to be accurate.
No. Having done lots of campaigns, what you have to be accurate about is that last poll. You have to be just like the big ones. You go, you're ahead, you're doing well, you're close, you're telling Cory Gardner, you can do it. And then your very last poll says, you're going to lose by 10. That's what they do. That is what polling is about. It is not they're telling Cory Gardner you're dead. Why even get up in the morning? They are not telling him that. They're telling him, as reasonable as they can make it, well, if a lot of people turn out on the Western Slope for Lauren Bobbitt, I've worked with pollsters
I think, though, the Trump people seem happy, the Democrats seem crabby.
Cory Gardner doesn't look particularly optimistic like Donald Trump.
No, I mean,
I think his internal polls are telling him something that's causing him to not be so optimistic, whereas Trump hinted last night at winning the House, it was last night. The House could flip.
Cory Gardner he'll start out saying, if we can, suppress the vote in Denver, that's not the right verb, but if we can get more people here, I think you're within five. But he can read, because Cory's a bright guy. He can read all that, well, what if they all go away? What if all those assumptions go away? He says, well, you don't want to be, that's how pollsters have to. They are not just little scientists sitting back. It's a very interesting
profession.
Although
here's Sandra just tested, the Democrats are always vicious and crabby. They're never happy. They're never satisfied. So that's true. Maybe we shouldn't read too much into them being crabby.
In 2012, I thought the Democrats were fairly optimistic.
Yes.
In terms of how Obama would do versus Romney.
Right. Oh, Mitt Romney, who, by the way, isn't going to didn't vote for Trump. It's like, oh, you're kidding.
You're so good. We love you.
Yeah. So there goes the election.
Yeah.
Well, right. You know, we have to. I know we have been talking about the debate, but your take on the debate. Like I said, Chuck was giddy, and Chuck is like never giddy, and his friends who are never giddy were giddy. Were you giddy?
I thought Trump handled it very well. The first debate, he was, you know, I don't want to say mean, but he was really kind of punchy. He was grumpy. He might have been feeling the effects of COVID because
he tested
positive a few days later.
Right.
You know how you feel when you have a cold. You're not with it. You're grumpy. You're short tempered.
And see, I have a cold all the time.
That's kind of how Trump was acting.
Yeah.
Last night, he was very confident. He followed the rules. He was gentlemanly. He got his barbs in, but he didn't do any name calling. He left Hunter alone. He didn't call Joe any names.
Yeah.
He got his points across, and he got the point about getting rid of oil and Joe on record that he never took any money and let Joe ramble. And I thought that was brilliant. He came across as very presidential, cool, calm, and collected.
Well, I tell you, I was thrilled from the beginning because I've been doing debates since fifth grade. And one of the things, you know, if you're teaching somebody debates, you say, look, your reaction to your opponent is important. You do not want to giggle. You do not want to mock. You don't want to shift your head. Well, you know, an easy thing to do is to make yourself stop from doing that. Is just
pretend you're right.
You may write down this guy's a clown. Whatever else, but write things down, which means that unlike the other debate, he bothered to listen to his debate people. He went, he's listening. This is good.
Well, and I think, you know, I was joking that I think whoever the debate person who said we're going to mute people is going to be fired because the muting helped Trump.
Oh, yeah, we're going to give that guy an award.
Yeah, it forced him to be calm. And then it allowed Joe Biden to do his kind of weird rambling stuff and then blurt out stuff like, I'm going to get rid of oil and gas.
My favorite one is I guess I will.
I'm going to talk about
Rudy Giuliani's a Russian agent. Yes, he is. America's mayor is a Russian agent. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And Marcus, don't forget Joe calling Trump the racist Lincoln. Like, yeah. And then about what good friends we were with Hitler.
We had a great relationship with him.
Yeah, we were all good
Franklin
buddies.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Hitler were just like good that. Buds.
No, I thought it was good to let Joe talk because that's when he gets into trouble. The first debate, Trump constantly interrupted him.
Right.
And before he could get himself into trouble and say something stupid, Trump was talking over him.
Yes.
And Chris Wallace was quite annoying in the first debate. I think this moderator was better. She was trying to maintain control. Yes, her questions favored the Democrat candidate. But
and her interruptions. She interrupted Trump 24 times and twice on Biden. She would always let
Biden
respond.
She's trying to bail Biden out, yeah.
And she would always stop. Okay, you have 10 seconds. But with Biden, oh, yeah, go ahead. You know, you respond for the next 2 years. I mean, she was only in comparison. In comparison, she's one of the best debate moderators they've had for the last couple of election cycles, but only in comparison. She was clearly biased against.
I agree, but in comparison to previous.
In comparison, she was tremendous.
How about this, you guys? Why couldn't we have a debate with two moderators? For example, Tucker Carlson questioning Joe Biden and Rachel Maddow questioning Trump.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be
I would pay money to watch that.
Because the Presidential Debate Commission is in the tank for the Democrats.
So that would
never happen. Yeah, I don't know. And the debates may be a thing of the past.
They're not a thing of the past. This, you know, don't let them tell you as they're saying, oh, it won't make any difference. You know, it was a tie. Those two things tell you they know Trump won and won overwhelmingly.
Oh, sure. No, that he had a good performance, and that's what he needed. He had a good third debate last campaign, and he did again.
And he needed it. You're absolutely right. All
the stuff coming out about the Bidens now, talk about October surprise. It's every day.
Yes.
And the Republicans are going to confirm Barrett on Monday
to
the Supreme Court. They're confident. Senate Republicans are just barreling ahead. If they thought Trump would lose, you think they'd be pushing this? No.
Nope, I think so too.
All you have to look is up in Minnesota where Tina Smith is now even with a Republican challenger. The latest poll out of Arizona had the always beleaguered Martha McSally beating Mark Kelly. So I think, you know, across the Senate board, across the presidential board, there's a huge amount of momentum, and I don't see that momentum being stopped.
And one thing I would say too, guys, is that, you know, the Democrats, what kind of October surprise could they have? They've thrown everything, impeachments.
Nothing left.
Yeah.
And Robert Mueller and his goons spent 2.5 years investigating Trump. They had access to everything, his tax returns, absolutely everything. And if there was anything there, they would have found it.
Yep. And they're so hysterical. Or
if it was something they could make up. I mean, they were happy to make it up in a case like General Flynn.
Yeah. They found nothing on Trump.
Right.
No.
And they're not going to.
I think the Hunter Biden laptop is going to be, I got a feeling that there is bad stuff with Hunter Biden. Could be classified as child pornography. And I think that's going to come out now too. And I think that's the reason the networks are screaming, well, Rudy Giuliani won't turn over the hard drive.
He was exchanging his shirt after he finished the interview. I mean, they are ridiculous.
Rudy Giuliani can't give them, if it has child porn on it, he can't give them the hard drive. That would be a crime in and of itself. So that's
he's turned it over to authorities, and hopefully they've done their research and talked to the authorities before. There's heat on the FBI to do something, the Delaware State Police. Yep. So I think something will come of this. And there's a drip, drip, drip every day. There's more to come.
More to come. Brian, final question for you. What do you got coming up? Any good columns coming up?
Just more on the polls. And I think one thing I've just started writing about is these coronavirus case surges.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if the current surge is to suppress in-person voting.
Yes.
To have enough cases that you're going to have certain governors in swing states declare that it's unsafe to go vote. Because you can't have the distancing and you can't vote.
And hopefully Amy Coney Barrett is sworn in on Tuesday.
But I
have one more question for you.
Yeah.
Where are you going to spend election night?
Oh, I'll be watching from home. It'll be good.
It'll be a party.
I'm not going to be downtown Denver. It's going to be. For the week after the election.
It's great to have you on, Brian. As always, great columns, and you're just so much fun to talk to. Thanks very much.
All right. Take care, guys. Have a good weekend.
Hey, that'll wrap it up to us. Thank you to Brian, to George, to Patrick, to everybody on Zoom. We love to have you guys on Zoom. Particularly, we love it when you comment. Want to remind you that you can always get the podcast at chuckandjulie.com. And if you go there, go ahead and follow us on YouTube.
Please.
Because that's very helpful, too.
It really is. And we're going to have a great week next week. Ted Tripp on Monday. So you don't want to miss it. And everybody have a great Friday. I'll have my first beer in an hour.
Happy Friday, everybody, and thank you guys at BBS.